Hey GMO.
Hi, everybody. Hey everyone, I think we're just waiting for the DAO to fill up, for the space to fill up a bit more, and then we'll begin with our conversation for today. Okay, I think we can begin the conversation. So, to talk about how to DAO, we're joined by Pankaj, is that how I pronounce it? From How to DAO, co-founder of Bankless Consult. Do you want to maybe do a brief introduction to yourself?
Definitely. So yeah, in this How to DAO profile, it's Punkar. Yeah, we started the How to DAO a couple of years ago with actually a book. So we started writing a book, which was after a couple of years of writing and interviewing different people from the DAO ecosystem, should be published around September this year with Penguin Random House. So it's a big milestone for us. And you know, we also do conferences around the world. So the next one is in Dubai. So if you are on token 2049, check howdao.xyz and sign up for our event to learn more about DAOs. And myself, Punkar, I also co-founded Bankless Consulting, which is helping mostly early stage project enter Web3, build their governance structure, product, tokenomics, and so on. And apart from that, recently, because I also like fitness, I started Workout the DAO. So that's a DAO dedicated to health and fitness, and we are expanding it as we speak. So, and I'm glad to be here, and also I'm glad that we could partner for our big 400 people event in Denver with Oasis Protocol, because they do great things in the for the DAO space.
Yeah, thank you so much. We loved the How to DAO event. I think DAOs and just like decentralizing, these things that traditionally exist in Web3, Web2, or in traditional finance, but they, maybe do it in a centralized way, has always been like sort of a passion for Oasis and definitely for myself. And it was the event at ETH Denver was probably one of my favorite events I've ever been into in Web3. So thank you so much for putting that on. And yeah, at Oasis, the DAOs and decentralized governance has been long something that we focused on. We have like a lot of articles about the need to add confidentiality to DAOs in order for them to be adequately decentralized and things of this nature. I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about that later. But maybe for now, the best place to start is just recapping what DAOs are and what are their key characteristics, and maybe you can share some reasons why you think that they're so important to Web3.
Yeah, definitely. And also, this is nice that we are starting with that, because every single event we do, we also start with the same talk. It's from different person usually, and it's different view, but it's always like, what is a DAO? So I will give you my view on the DAO, because I believe there are multiple views. But my view of the DAO is that DAO, it's like any other organization or, you know, community, basically to coordinating some effort for a common goal. And that's what I would say they have all kind of similar. However, what's the difference between DAO and, let's say, traditional Web2 type of coordination is that we are introducing the new economic system within the organization. So now the organization can have their own like incentive program, maybe their own currency. They can have basically internal economic system, which can be connected to other economical systems within the crypto space. So we are really creating kind of like new, I would say, economical primitive within the coordination. So that's kind of how I see DAO differ from Web2 organization. You know, the way like I'm not too much on that side, like that, you know, DAO differs in the decentralization, because I believe there can be flat organizations as well in Web2, and we can see it with, like, you know, the agile adoption and you know, Amazon, like very famous, like two pizza size teams, which are very kind of autonomous, and they build new stuff. You can see that also in Netflix, where they have this no rules, where like everyone is kind of responsible for what they are doing, what they are achieving, and the teams are, you know, very autonomous, and the whole organization is decentralized. But it's not the DAO, because they do not have any internal economical system, and they are not connecting to the like crypto economics. So that's where I kind of draw the line mostly, and why they are important. Well, it's evolution. So, you know, we had couple different revolutions or like, you know, progress in our history. You know, like we got like new factories before we got like maybe cars instead of horses, you know. Even before that, like we started like doing like accounting, and with that like lending, so you could actually borrow money for some of your ventures and so on. So there is like different things which happened in the history to improve, hopefully improve the overall economical growth and value creation. And I believe this is just another step in that. So, you know, as we are introducing the new economical system, I believe it can empower more entrepreneurs to actually pursue their dreams, build successful companies, create more value for the overall society. And then our, like, say, global GDP will be just growing faster, because we create another enabler. So that's how C, this can really revolutionize, you know, the overall economy of the world. And, you know, as I said, like, I think it will also empower the smaller entrepreneurs, be more like, get access to the things they need to actually build their company. So it won't be anymore like just the hegemons, like, you know, Facebook and all the Amazon and so on. But I think with this new kind of introducing of the internal economical system, I think we can empower also the smaller entrepreneurs to be more successful and grow.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, at least the way that I think about maybe the vaguest way to think about the owls or the most high level is just like it's a coordination mechanism that's empowered by Web3 so that you know that it has, you know, high integrity and a trustless nature. And I think like a lot of focus has been put on, DeFi and like DAOs and how they relate to like companies in terms of governance. But you know what we're starting to see, I think, is a lot of other places looking for governance and high integrity. You've mentioned that you have like a workout DAO. Maybe you can just explain like what that DAO's goal is and how that DAO is being architected.
So we are very early. Of course, we have a token, but as of now, it's not it's not like economical system in a sense. But we are like playing around with a couple different structures for workout DAO. So I would say at this point we are in like experimental phase. What would work the best for us to coordinate towards the end goal? And the end goal, it's really like global health and fitness network, which is owned and governed by people who are contributing to it. So a simple example can be like you have this like gym chains. If you are in the United States, I think one of the biggest chains is Planet Fitness. Or there will be probably others in Europe. I think Planet Fitness is actually in Europe as well these days. But it's not really governed by the community. It's like a centralized company, like which operates a chain. What we want to do, it's more like there is a private gym, like in your city, there is a gym which Mike or some other person really interested in fitness owns, and we want to help them to connect to this global network so anyone can kind of use the property, but also they get access to the whole network and they get stake in a network, so they will be more incentivized to provide better services. So I know I don't want to keep it too long about this, but really what you said, Will, it's what we are trying to do. We are trying to coordinate around the same goal, which is provide, health and fitness kind of facilities and trainings and like, empower people to actually be healthy within the whole world. And we don't know yet how we get there all the way, but we know that this can be really nice, like DAO can be a really nice framework, how we can start, and people, as they get more involved, can actually help us grow.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I can't wait to learn more as you guys, you know, build out the DAO. And yeah, like I said, it's really just amazing, like sort of what can be done in the Web3 space. I think you mentioned like experimentation. That's what I think we see a lot from DAOs. One area that I think DAOs are just beginning to experiment with is privacy. So I'd love to get some thoughts on why you think privacy might be important for DAOs. Yeah, and where it fits in.
Yeah, so maybe back to the previous point. Well, if you want to get involved, actually, first what we are doing, it's workouts like rounds. We did some bouldering as well around Web3 conferences. So if you are at NFT NYC or Paris Blockchain Week or Token 2049, there is a workout planned for the community. So you can, meet other people, you can network a little bit, but you can also get a couple calories burned. So you can just check workoutdao.com and there is all events. So this is kind of first step to make it global in a little sense and get the community together. And regarding the privacy part, so I would say for workout DAO, there might not be necessarily like need for the privacy because people might want to like actually show, they just finished the workout, they burned that many calories, they, you know, ride so many miles or so. You can think about it like a Strava. Like, everyone loves to brag about what they have done. And it's fine. And that's kind of one of the use cases. But it's not everything. You know, it's not everything what you want to brag about. On the other side, you have things like elections. So you have elections for, you know, presidential elections in the United States now, like, big deal. Like, and some people definitely, you know, love to say who they are voting for, but it can be a very sensitive topic. Some people just don't want their neighbor to know that they vote for either Biden or Trump, you know, because that can really harm their relationship. However, they still feel very strongly about what they have been voting for. And the same thing can happen within the DAO space. So at this point, I would say 99% of the voting and, like, decision making, it's out in public. So if I really don't like the proposal and I put, you know, that I'm big delegate, I don't like it, there's a couple things which will happen. First, if I'm, like, influential enough, many people will follow. So basically, I'm influencing the decision of other people by voting in public. Second, the person who, you know, submit the proposal, they might not like me anymore because I kind of shut them down, which is fair in a sense, but also, like, yes and no voting doesn't say everything. You know, there needs to be conversation held, and that can be held, you know, before or after, but, like, during the voting, people see just yes or no. And at that point, like, it might be more valuable for the whole community if the voting itself, it's actually happening in private. So I will not get influenced by decisions of others. I will also not get influenced by, oh, I will hurt Mike, who just published this proposal. He's a good friend of mine. I should just approve it. Well, I'm delegate first for the DAO, or the, you know, like, big stakeholder in the DAO. Like, Mike is a friend, but this is kind of a business. So we need to be, you know, very much about that. And if it's private, I would be more probably honest, because it doesn't make me feel bad if I just, like, say no and then talk to Mike how to maybe adjust the proposal. So I think privacy makes sense in some of this kind of situation, but as I mentioned before, maybe not in other. And, you know, it's a great, and Will, you probably know more about this than I do, you know, like, Oasis, what they are building, it's kind of like, you don't need to decide to be totally private at all. Like, you can actually decide, like, this is what I want to be private, you know, and I can set it up pretty easily. At least that's what I saw on the demo in Denver. So it's not like, you know, you need to, like, decide, like, that you want to be totally private chain type of thing, but, like, this is more like, you know, you can build on top of your DAO this, like, kind of privacy layer, which I think it's really cool.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that. I think that's probably one of the things that we are most proud of at Oasis is building a framework where, you know, each DApp or each DAO or, you know, each developer gets to choose, you know, which aspects of state they want to keep encrypted and confidential and which aspects they want to make public. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be this rigid setup when you're setting up a DAO and, like, how you want to make it confidential. You really have all the tools that you need. And it's as simple as just building in Solidity, especially if you build your DAO natively on Sapphire. But there are also ways to do it where you can deploy your DAO, you know, on other networks, and you can just keep certain mechanisms on Sapphire and then communicate to the main DAO through cross-chain messaging. And this is, I think, yeah, one of the things that we focused on a lot is, you know, how can we empower Web3 to use privacy in the way that they need on the network that they need, you know, in the most user-friendly and developer-friendly way. So thank you so much for mentioning that.
I think this is great, like, because, you know, let's say, you know, example, Workout DAO, like, I didn't think about privacy now because I don't see the use case, but there might be use case in the future. And like, as you said, like, you can basically start on another chain and then you can build up on top of it, which is great because sometimes you just don't know that you need it till you need it.
Yeah. And even as you were saying it, you know, I didn't want to interject, but you said, like, you know, people want to brag about how many calories they burned or how long they worked out. And that's true. Like, I think probably people want to share that information, right? But at the same time, maybe they don't want to share which gym they're going to, right? They don't want to share their GPS location because maybe that is personal and sensitive and it might share too much about them. Or perhaps they only want to share it with people, you know, if we think about the social media example, you have like a friends list, right? And only your friends are able to see this information, but you don't share it with like the whole world. So maybe it's like this sort of selected disclosure where you share it with, you know, people that you are connected with within the DAO or within like Web3, but you don't share it with anyone else. So you keep it hidden on the blockchain from people that you don't want to see, but you share it with people that you do want to see. And I think that goes back to this example of like, we built a very flexible network that allows people to make these decisions. And the great thing is like, maybe you don't agree with that. Maybe you think that, you know, people want to share it with everyone or they don't care about their GPS location, and that's fine. So then we can make it entirely transparent. But yeah, that's like the way that I think about it is just like, there's no reason not to use it. Cause if you have, you know, if you want to be transparent, you can do everything you can do on any other network. But if you want to be confidential, you can do something here that you can't do anywhere else.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually. Yeah. And I agree with you, like, the privacy topic is very much about, like, there are different people have different, like, sensitivity to it. So, for example, I would be okay to share my GPS location, what gym, what time I'm going to work out, if someone wants to kind of hang out with me there, they can figure that out. But some people would be very much like, I don't want to know people like where they can find me at 2 p.m., you know, and kind of, you know, maybe they have problem with stalkers or something. And this is definitely what they don't want to show. So I agree with you. There can be like, you know, great use cases around that.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe some celebrity, you know, wants to join the DAO and connect with everyone and feel part of the sort of community. But at the same time, you know, if they show everyone what they're doing all the time, then they'll have, you know, the paparazzi after them. But moving on, I'd love to know, like, more, like, have you thought about privacy in the past? And what technologies have you, you know, considered, or if you've considered any? Or what do you see happening in the privacy space outside of Sapphire for DAOs?
Yeah, so in the past, I've been involved in ZK technology, but not for DAOs per se. So I've been part of Ernst & Young EY blockchain team. And what we've been building, and also the open source called Nightfall. So Nightfall, it's basically like a zero-knowledge solution for, I would say, supply chain management. So what the use case was there was really like, if you want to be kind of interacting with your vendors and customers, like, you might want to show, like, track the goods and that people see that, like, it was, like, at this factory and this storage for that amount of time, and this was the temperature, so, you know, it should be still fresh when it's going to the store or something. That might, you might want that to be public because, like, you want to showcase that, like, it's very fresh or, like, you know, something around the product. But you don't want to show, like, the money flow, like, how much you actually paid for that, like how much one vendor paid for the goods, or maybe even the quantity. You know, you don't want to show to your competitors how much you are actually buying from that particular vendor, because it might be your competitive advantage. So what we really try to do there, it's like obfuscate some of those, you know, stuff. So using ZK to basically, you know, prove that that good or product or whatever, like, went from one party to another without actually disclosing all the details about it, which could have been revealed only by the parties involved. So, you know, I've been working on that since like 2018, when we open sourced it at DEF CON Prague. And the team is still working on it, I believe. I'm not part of that anymore. But that's how I got into privacy. And like, I think that's where I realized like that privacy, it's actually very important for very different type of use cases. Like, you know, people who never been in supply chain management would say like, well, like, why we won't disclose those, you know, numbers, and like, why it's so important, we can just put everything on blockchain, it will be fine, you know. Like, well, you know, if your competitors know for how much you are buying the goods, maybe they can actually offer, you know, something to your vendor to actually not sell to you, but sell to them. And there can be a very complicated kind of battle, because some of this stuff, it's your competitive advantage. And if you reveal it to your competitors, they can actually act upon it and like really make your life harder. So that's where, you know, the privacy really important. And when we get more to the DAO space, it's very similar. Like, there might be some things which like DAO don't want to disclose. Like, it's as any other businesses. Some things are very confidential for a reason. It's not that like you are hiding something, but it's just like, if other people know about it, you might lose the advantage you have, and it will be over for your business. So that's also how I'm thinking about DAOs and privacy. Like, one, what I mentioned before is the voting, but the other is DAO is a business, or some of the DAOs are business. Like, some of the stuff needs to stay confidential, because that's made their competitive advantage. And now we have everything pretty much public. So there is, you know, they might be losing some of the value they actually could have created. And that's where we might want to introduce like additional privacy, like have some internal discussion really in private. They are happening now in private, but then they go on forum. Maybe the forum should be only for people, you know, for eyes of internal people, not for everyone. I don't know. That's just examples. But there can be some business decisions which will require privacy for DAOs in the future, I believe.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned those. You know, I think a lot of our discussion have been at Oasis, you know, our public discussions have been about, you know, the governance aspects, sort of what you talked about earlier, which is to eliminate bias, right? The bias of seeing the vote while it happens. So like, there's this ability where, you know, let's say only 20% of the people have voted, but they all voted no to some proposal, but 80% of the people actually agree with the proposal. But because the 20% who didn't vote have all already voted, the other 80 never vote, because they all feel like their vote won't be worthwhile. The pass is unanimous to vote no, right? So now you've hindered like a normal governance process. Another example would be like, sometimes there's this idea of quorum, right, where you need 20%. So let's say that it's at 19% quorum and it's gonna pass. And if you vote no, you actually help it reach quorum. So in fact, your best decision is to not vote at all, because that's has a greater chance of keeping the vote from passing. So that's like another example. Another example is just retribution, right? Where like, let's say, you know, you're the COO of a company and your CEO voted one way and you disagree with it. You don't really feel comfortable because you know that your CEO will see that you voted one way, and that you voted against him. And now, you know, he might make your life miserable going forward. So all of these forms of biases, you know, can exist. And I'm not saying they exist in every DAO, but there's no real way right now in Web3 to fight them. And that's what I think Oasis Sapphire is doing on the governance side. But I appreciate that you also mentioned like these other aspects of DAOs, because there's also, like you said, you might want to have confidential forums, or even maybe the ability to confidentially just DM with like one other member of the DAO who you think, you know, you want to work out, you want to discuss with, but you maybe don't want to share like your real information with. You just want to have a conversation with this other party who seems to think along the same lines of you as you. Like, you can't really do this on other networks, like this sort of social coordination aspect, forums, DMing, things of that nature. And then, like you said, treasury funding, or like how treasuries are being used. You know, you might want to have, you know, maybe you don't want to know what the salaries are of employees, or like, you know, maybe you want to give them a vague range, but you don't want it to be exact, because, you know, then you get negotiations. If someone sees that this person is paid more, they're gonna, you know, fight with you on that. I think the way that I think about all of these things are like, there's a reason in the traditional world that we have all this information confidential. I think, you know, these systems have been in place for a long time, these traditional world systems. And the reason why this is all confidential is because we figured out that that is the stronger way of doing it. Not to say that there's not improvements. Obviously, DAOs help decentralize things. They make it trustless. But, you know, you shouldn't always just like throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I think what Oasis really does is just allows for that flexibility. So maybe some DAOs won't agree with the things I just said. But as we've already discussed at length, like Oasis allows you to have the flexibility to do it if you wish, or just operate like you do on other networks if you want that too. So yeah, those are my thoughts on that. I don't know if you have anything else to add before we hop into the next question.
No, I think actually the salary part is very, very interesting one. So, you know, I think it's a Sweden where you actually can see everyone's salary. Basically, it's a public knowledge how much your neighbor makes. So it's not even within the company, but it's even beyond. It's like the whole country. It's like having public knowledge of what's your income. And they got so used to it that they don't even think about it. But like in the United States, like it's basically like people should not be talking about their salary between employees. Like, you know, you have it in the contract that you cannot disclose it to anyone because they don't want to know that, like they don't want the employees to know who has the highest salary, and everyone will try to negotiate to that kind of point. I'm not sure what's better.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Sorry, say it again.
But yeah, go on.
Sorry.
Okay.
Were you finished speaking? I think I'm having some lag right here.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I thought that you wanted to say something, but like
some technical difficulties.
Oh, no worries. What I wanted to say, like, I'm not sure which way is better to go. Like, the privacy in the salary can be advantageous for some people because you can negotiate higher salary for the same position as your colleagues if you are really good at it. But also it can be advantageous for the employer, which we don't know if we want. Like, they can basically try to put as little as they can. So some people will just accept like very low offers because they just don't know that they could have asked for more. And it will be like, you know, the salary gap between people and so on and so forth. So I'm not sure on which side I'm on this one, because like it can be advantageous for employees, some employees, it can be disadvantageous for others. So I think this will be a very tricky question to answer.
Yeah, for sure. I actually didn't know that about Sweden, but it is interesting. And, you know, I think that, you know, at least in industry, I definitely like always advocated for sharing, but I do also think that it should be people's right to share. So I don't know. Like you said, it's a tricky question. And what I'm excited about is just adding that, having that flexibility so that like these more sophisticated things can be done. So DAOs get to decide, you know, how they want to coordinate themselves, but they're not limited by the technology. I think, you know, we talked a lot about privacy, and I appreciate your opinions there. I was wondering, like, what else you think is happening in the DAO space that's interesting? Are there other technologies? Are there, you know, other trends you see? And, like, what are you looking forward to in the future?
Oh, that's a good question. So what I see mostly in DAO space, in general, is that the DAOs are evolving. So I think it started, let's say, as an investment DAO was, you know, the first the DAO, and most of the DAOs starting after were also like just pooling resources, investing in other in some stuff and so on. And now we are, you know, we branch out. Then it was like this period of time, like DAOs were mostly for like decentralizing protocols. So you can, you know, Uniswap, launch the token, launch the DAO, kind of. With it, you know, Arbitrum done the same, Optimism done the same, and everyone was like just trying to like decentralize, launch the token, and that's kind of how the DAO happened. But now I feel like we are getting more into like a business formation. So actually, there are DAOs happening from the beginning. It's not going like to airdrop thousands and thousands of people the token. But it's maybe just like three people, four people just starting. They starting as a DAO right away. They building their startup. They getting more DAO contributors or employees in it. And they just like the internal kind of economical systems just help them like, you know, raise enough capital to start the development, maybe raise a little bit more later to like, you know, continue to launch the product, get some marketing and so on. And it's like a new primitive how to actually start a business. It's not just, it's still a lot about like, you know, there is a lot about meme coins and stuff, which are not building anything, but I see the change that they are actually like a good product company, service companies, which are starting as a DAO, and they are trying like to use this primitive to grow further. So I think that's like a general vibe or maybe even wish, you know, I hope this will kind of sustain. It's not that prevalent yet, but I hope this will sustain and it will really become like, as you are starting as a C Corp or other type of, you know, organization, like you will start as a DAO. And also regulation. I think it's important to mention here, like regulation is supporting this kind of move. With Duna in Wyoming, so you know the decentralized nonprofit organization in Wyoming helps set up a like a very efficient DAO there. They already had the kind of LLC, but now they you know done additional kind of framework based on some feedback from like A16Z and other industry experts to do this type. There is also, you know, Dubai, which is introducing, they have this digital asset oasis for crypto asset companies with new regulation coming up. Also some regulation, I think, around DAOs. So, you know, Hong Kong, Singapore also started like, you know, be very friendly about that and so on. So regulation is coming up, which is great. And lastly, like I think there are a lot of cool ideas, you know, what people are building. And why I started the workout DAO in the first place, or how to DAO even. Like, both, they have a little bit different purpose, but like, I meet a lot of builders on both. Like, you know, on how to DAO, like, we are trying to get the builders, introduce them the DAO concept, introduce them some Web3 primitives, and help them build. On the workout DAO, we just like hang, and we just talk, and we connect the right people together. And I met so many, you know, builders which are super excited about crypto, super excited about DAOs, and they are building cool things in any industry. You know, it's a healthcare industry. It can be decentralized science. You know, not just like DeFi and meme coins, but it's like all the industry. We are now like plugging into like all the industries around us.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's like really what I'm excited for, is like seeing how DAOs can move. Like, you can even think about like, you know, college boards, or like, yeah, like grant funding for science and things like that. Like, I'd love to see how the DAOs can clean up that space, because, you know, I know at least, you know, anecdotally a little bit about like there's all these areas for corruption, or like for like, you know, nepotism within like these programs that are meant to be, you know, public goods and things of that nature. And it's really like interesting to me to think about like what a DAO could do, how it could help decentralize the process, how it could add trust to the system, and make sure that, you know, the people that should be getting, let's say, funding or resources are getting the right resources allocated to them based on their credentials and their merit, versus, you know, any sort of personal bias within like a centralized committee or something like that. So I'm really interested to see how that works. You know, regulation also is very interesting. I think the industry has been asking for it for a long time, at least maybe not regulation, but clarity on what the regulation is. That'd be nice. I would say like the areas, two of the areas that I'm like most interested in is just like what we can do to expand like the sort of sophistication of DAOs. I think one of the things that I at least have found it that hurts it a bit is that once a DAO is created, it often slows down like progress, because it just requires a lot more steps before something can be done versus a centralized system, which is known. But like, how can we, you know, basically mitigate that while remaining decentralized? And I've been looking at some of these spaces that are looking into like sub DAOs and like committees within DAOs. I think Synthetics, you know, they were one of the first to have like a council and things like that. So I would love to see like more DAOs start adopting. I like flat DAOs, but I'd like to see a lot more DAOs at least experimenting in the area of like, you know, creating hierarchical DAOs as well. I think that'll be pretty interesting. I don't know. Have you experienced a lot of that? Maybe you have some thoughts on how that works or how it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. And I don't think that, like, you know, organization, which like everyone is like consensus type of organization that everyone needs to decide on everything, makes total sense. You know, like there is always the argument like of Switzerland, which is like basically like, they are like having a lot of like decision makes by the people all the time, but there is still like operational decisions which are just made within the government and nobody needs to decide. Like, if it's a big change, we can do all the like token holders voting, but if it's just like small decisions within some budget and like, you know, just make sure that like, you know, we are pushing the product or service further, we are addressing all the security needs and so on, like there should be just like a team which is responsible for it and just do it. And I've seen couple organizations doing that. One of them, MakerDAO. So there was the, you know, the team structure, the core team structure, which got the, you know, budget for a year, and then were like executing on their work. And if they needed something like to be introduced into the code or something, like it had to go through the governance for security reasons. So that kind of made sense. As people might know, like, they are actually changing their model to incentivize even better the team. So as I talk about the kind of internal economy, like MakerDAO is putting it on another level, because they are doing the internal economy within the internal economy. So the MakerDAO will be basically the main DAO, the main economy of it, and then there will be sub DAOs which will have their own token, which will incentivize the contributors within the sub DAO to do good work. So I'm very excited to see how that will work for them. So, you know, to your question at the beginning, like, you know, can we be efficient as a DAO space? I believe yes. And there are other frameworks which are like doing more like, let's say, access-based governance. If you are or role-based governance, when you already have the role, you have some access, you have some rights, you can just execute on it. Llama, it's one of the frameworks which has been built. They've been contributing to, you know, many DeFi protocols, and now they build framework around it. So there is definitely, you know, plenty of frameworks which actually can work very efficiently. I think it's just on the DAO decision to kind of use them and implement them, and not to be kind of too much stressing the point that we need to be fully decentralized. Because when that come up, like, you know, we want to be fully decentralized means everyone needs to have a say on everything that we do, then you are getting into this very inefficient kind of loop.
Yeah, for sure. I think that the next few years, DAOs is going to be, you know, pretty exciting. You know, hopefully we see some of these ideas play out, and hopefully we see some confidentiality added either, you know, into the potential areas of like token treasury management or governance. You know, I think these are all really interesting places to start experimenting, which I think the Web3 space does well. Well, I just want to thank everyone for the time today. I want to know, do you have any like announcements, anything you want to share before closing thoughts before we sign off, say goodbye to everybody?
Yeah, so thank you everyone for joining. I hope you like it. You know, if you want to catch up around DAOs and, you know, building in Web3, my DMs are open. So my Twitter account, either you can use HowToDAO or PunkarDAO, so at PunkarDAO, or at Punkar on Telegram, and happy to chat more. And if you are, you know, fitness and health enthusiast or DAO enthusiast, like, join us for Workout DAO, which will be April 5th in New York, April 8th in Paris, and April I think 18 in Dubai. So you can check all at workoutdao.com, or my profile has all the links. So, and thanks, Will. Thanks, Oasis, for inviting me and working with us. And we hope to work with you together at some other event in the future.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us today, Punkar. It was a great discussion. You surely think about DAOs a lot. And I'll see if I'm only an hour outside New York City, so I'll see if I can stop by. Maybe we can meet up in New York.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Awesome. For everyone else, just on the Oasis side of things, we got a lot going on. So always follow our Twitter and you know, our different socials to keep up with what's going on in the ecosystem. And then we'll also be at ETHDAM in a big way, starting I think April 11th. So, if anyone's in the area or attending the conference, stop by, say hi, and we'd love to meet you. Anyway, thanks everyone for joining us for this conversation, and I hope you all have a great day. Goodbye.